This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at howiecarshow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to Help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The testing problem. We've done more than any other nation in the world. You people aren't satisfied. So let's say we had 350 million people in the United States. And if we gave every one of those people a test 10 times, the fake news media would say, where's the 11th time? He didn't do his job. Trump didn't do his job. And it's so bad.
That's not true. But that's not true.
Okay. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You're encouraging, hundreds of thousands of people coming there in casinos, smoking, drinking, touching slot machines, breathing circulated air.
That sounds like fun.
Actually, that does sound like fun.
Doesn't that sound like a virus petri dish? I mean, how is that?
No, what it sounds like, you're being an alarmist.
If casinos reopen, are you going to be inside those casinos every single night putting your own life on the line? You'd be putting money where your mouth is, to use a Las Vegas term. And...
Now let's hear your fake laugh.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
With that, Mr. Chairman, today's hearing is on Speaker Pelosi's proposed select committee on the coronavirus pandemic.
I heard the speaker say we need to move in a bipartisan manner, and I believe she meant that. But then I can't forget that she said the same thing about impeachment a year ago.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Eight different entities doing oversight, but the Democrats want a ninth. Why? Eight committees looking out for the taxpayer, the ninth looking out for Joe Biden.
I'm getting too excited about this.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I've just been listening to Vice President Mike Pence during the news break at the top of the hour, and he's talking about all the states starting to reopen, and he mentioned that the governor of Idaho has a plan, Rebound Idaho. He didn't mention anything. I hope it includes pardons for all of these terrible scofflaws trying to hold yard sales or take their kids out to play at the local playgrounds. And he said they're encouraging elective surgeries to resume. Is that long overdue. That's really been bad. You've had thousands, if not tens of thousands, of layoffs in hospitals because there haven't been any elective surgeries, and plus the inpatient visits. And I just got an email today from the surgeon who did my elbow operation, and they're just asking people. They're basically checking in and asking people to, check in with them, because they got to be hurting, my surgery was not elective, in my opinion. My elbow was killing me. It was dangling down, but I guess under these guidelines, it would be considered elective surgery. Exactly. 844-500-4242. And I was thinking about Bob Maines. You know, he's talking, he was on the, he drove up to Maine. He is driving up to Maine to his house. He's in the vacation land now. But he spent the winter on the shores of Lake Okeechobee. Well, there's another guy who's spent more than the winter on the shores of Lake Okeechobee from New England. Bob could have taken him up with him if he got released from prison. That's the hitman. John Zip Connolly, FBI agent, doing second degree murder, basically a 40-year life sentence, and he wants to be released because he has diabetes and he says he's in danger at the age of 79. So Bob could have given Zip a ride back, dropped him off in Lynnfield, Massachusetts, where his family lives, where they used to live when he was sent off to prison. 844-500-4242. I'm going to check tomorrow and see if Stevie Flemmy and Cadillac Frank Salemi are trying to get out of prison for this. They're in their 80s, for goodness sake. I mean, Zip's a spring chicken. He isn't even past the big 80. He's younger than Nancy Pelosi. So he's looking to get out. So why not let Steve? I think Stevie would be a tougher sell. He did admit at Cadillac Frank's trial a couple of years ago that he killed 50 people. Kind of hard to let, even in these perilous times, to let some guy out who's killed 50 people and has admitted it on the witness stand. Cadillac Frank, when they lugged Cadillac Frank, he had a copy of Hitman in the back seat. He should get leniency just for that alone, being a Howie Carr book fan. 844-500-4603. Connolly can stay with you, Howie. I don't want him staying here. He's only 10 miles away, about 10 miles away from me where I'm speaking right now. Not far, but I don't want him. 844-500-4242. Let's see here. Is the president speaking again, or is it just one of the bureaucrats, one of the medical professionals, just a cabinet member? We'll take a call or two here. 844-500-4242. Anthony, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, thank you for having me, Howie. Speaking of...
Boy, you got a bad connection there, Anthony. Call back and we'll put you right on. You know, one thing about this, with the roads having less traffic, even though the traffic is starting to come back, the lawyer from Idaho said it. That's the case, and it's certainly the case here in South Florida. It's not like it used to be, but it's getting better. And for once, I like seeing more cars on the highway. But there's a story today. California has seen a surge in speeding tickets in the past month as traffic has declined statewide due to the restrictions. The month-long period saw 2,500 citations given for triple-digit speeds compared to half that in the same time frame a year ago. During a speed enforcement operation, also known as a speed trap, on the 5 freeway in Southern California last week, CHIP, California Highway Patrol officers, pulled over 14 drivers traveling more than 100 miles an hour. The fastest was clocked at 119 miles per hour. I wonder if he said he was trying to escape from the coronavirus. He was trying to outrun it. Last Friday night in Orange County, CHIP officers ticketed several drivers for speeding, with the majority of those driving in excess of 100 miles per hour. At the same time, traffic volume on state roads has dropped about 35% compared to the same time last year. Let's see here. Ron, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Howie. How are you?
Good.
I thought I'd give you a heads up on you were talking about Al Gore recently. I mean,
yes.
Earlier in the show.
Yeah, he was on the virtual town hall with Sleepy Joe Biden yesterday. You could see it on YouTube, by the way. They'd like to get up to 10,000 before the weekend. he is the Democratic nominee. He can't draw flies. Go ahead.
But there's a wonderful documentary on YouTube by Michael Moore called "The Planet of the Humans," and it just torches the Green New Deal.
Really?
The solar and it's unbelievable. The solar, and they'll never be the same again. And he has Al Gore. He torches Al Gore too, and talks about him, his place down the Cayman Islands, and it's fantastic.
Well, you know, I was thinking watching it was torture, and you know, Al Gore is predicting all these terrible things again, and I was thinking of An Inconvenient Truth, which, you know, if you got kids in public schools, they've probably seen it at least once or twice through the course of their K-12 experience. And all the stuff that he predicted was going to happen by 2010 or 2015, none of it happened. None of it happened. And yet he's still out there pontificating. Now, the only difference is he weighs 300 pounds instead of 250 pounds. You know, it's ridiculous that this guy, I know he's a Democrat, so he gets a pass. But, you know, why is he taken seriously under any circumstances? Thanks for the call, Ron. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hello, how you going? I want to ask you a question. Newark, New Jersey, I live in Newark. The mayor, he said, on Monday, I want everything shut down, store, everything. supermarket every day, one day every Monday. I said, what the hell going on? And he said, every Monday. Also,
every Monday?
Every Monday.
Why? Why Monday?
He say every Monday. I don't know why, but he say in the supermarket, he say, I want to open 11 o'clock, shut down at 2 p.m.
I don't get these arbitrary hours, whether they're for beaches or for supermarkets or for bike paths or the curfews at 9 o'clock. What is it with these hours? I mean, it's just like this power has gone to their heads. So they can, you know, what is that? What's that movie where they say we're going to have a new thing, a new rule? You have to wear the underwear on the outside of your pants. Remember that? I mean, how is that any different than closing everything on Monday or saying you can't go on the beach till 5 o'clock? Who gave this? Okay, we're going to take a break now. He's beginning to take questions. Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll have the president taking some questions. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
You said yesterday that you're going to look into Senator McConnell's suggestion for allowing states to declare bankruptcy versus the aid.
Yeah, we'll look into it, and I have been looking into it. I've been talking to a lot of the different senators, but I don't want to talk about it now. That was a very interesting presentation. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I wanted to talk about McConnell's suggestion that aid to the states amounts to a blue...
I just told you I'm not talking about it now. I'll talk about it later. Okay. I'd like to talk about something that right now is of more interest to people.
I don't want to give you another cheap headline. Thank you, Mr. President. Good handling of that. I'm glad he didn't take the bait. Today's poll question is brought to you by Honey, the easiest way to find the biggest discounts online. It's free to use and will have you saving money in minutes. Download Honey today at joinhoney.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would you rather sit in a casino or a subway car?
I'd rather sit in a casino.
5% say they'd rather sit in a subway car.
Somebody said we should have worded it, do you feel safer in a casino or a subway?
Oh, that's an easier question. Come on.
I again vote for being in the casino. 844-500-4242. 207 says, I work for myself, so deemed myself essential. I have to go to Home Depot a lot and used to like to go late in the evening when it wasn't that busy. Now they have to close at 6 and it's always busy. So much for social distancing. Yeah. So Mr. Garcia was right here. This is insane. It's not mandatory, but Mayor Ross Baraka announced during the daily coronavirus update that the city would begin encouraging businesses to shut down at the start of every week until May 11th in a move he's calling Be Still Mondays. This is not The Onion. This is not the Babylon Bee. Listen to this. As the death toll continues to mount and the nation's preliminary numbers began to show that black and brown communities are being hit harder by the coronavirus due to the legacy of structural racism, what the hell does that have to do with closing businesses down on Mondays as opposed to Tuesdays or Wednesdays or whatever your favorite day is or your least favorite day? There's a new sense of urgency in Newark. What? To do something stupid? Here's the quote from the mayor. We're going to test this out on Mondays. All of us stay still. Be still! I assume he said it because there's an exclamation point at the end of be still. We're not signing an executive order. We're asking all these businesses to shut down. Everybody, Prudential, Verizon, everybody, if you're not essential. Prudential is not essential. Prudential is pretty essential to the property tax revenue in the city of Newark, I dare say. Ditto Verizon. Legally, Newark cannot mandate essential businesses to shut down. So what the hell does this matter? What is this? How is this even virtue signaling to say be still on Mondays? Can we get a sound cut of that mayor saying be still? Sit down and shut up. How is this going to help things? I guess that's a rhetorical question. 844-500-4242. Taylor, whenever it looks good, just tell me and we'll go back to the press conference. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jason.
Yes, Howie, great show as usual. I was wondering, with tomorrow, the start of Ramadan, do you think that the woke mayors of the country will be out arresting, going to the mosque like they have arrested the clergy, be it ministers, priests, or rabbis?
I know. You know what? That's a good question for the mayor of Newark. Will the mosques be closed on Monday, Mayor, in Newark? Will the Muslim members celebrating or observing Ramadan, will they have to be still on Mondays like everybody else, like the people who work at Prudential or Verizon? I think that's a good question, and I think we both know the answer to it. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
Howie has been a longtime member of the Howie Carr Cheap Bastard Club. They took my money for the returnable bottles, and now right now they won't take them back. What the hell am I supposed to do?
You know what? I'm getting a lot. I'm down here in Florida, so it's a moot point for me personally, Russ. But don't you think we need some kind of class action suit here? I mean, the state is grabbing 100% of the money. The whole reason we have a returnable bottle and can law in the state is so that the state can rip off any money for the unreturned bottles and cans. So now they're getting 100% of the cans. You buy a case of something at Market Basket or at Total Wine, you're just handing Charlie Parker $1.20, and you're never going to get it back, right?
What a revolting development. That's all I can say, Howie.
It is. I agree. That would be a good job for a lawyer, to a class action suit. 10 people. If I were back up there, I'd put my name on that list. You need 10 people for a class action suit. 10 affected people. Here's the president's back up at the podium.
What do your economists tell you about the time it's going to take to you in the U.S. to create?
Well, I know
jobs
a lot
back
about economists.
August, yeah. September,
sure.
October.
Well, let me go. We know the rest of the question, right? So I know a lot about economists, and the answer is they have no idea. I think I have as good an idea as anybody, and I think our economy will start to pick up very substantially as soon as the states get open, and that's happening as we speak, and it's actually very exciting, and people are just thrilled to see it, because our country has to get back to work. They want to get back to work. You see that, whether it's a demonstration or just in talking to people. They're going to get back to work, and they're going to get back to work very fast. States are advanced. I look at Gavin Newsom. Newsom was very nice today. He wrote a beautiful statement about. We sent him a lot of things that he needed. Okay, different things that he needed. We got it taken care of. They've done very well in California, as you know. They're doing really well in Florida. They're doing well in a lot of places. New York and New Jersey got hit very hard. They're doing very well. I spoke again with Governor Cuomo, with Governor Murphy. They're doing a great job.
I don't mind him speaking well of Governor Newsom, but how about speaking well of Governor Kemp in Georgia, who's trying to open up the state? We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Yes, Mr. President.
This is the same stuff. And Fauci gave an interview to Time magazine. Again, comes the recurring question, who knew Time magazine was still around? When was the last time you saw a copy of Time magazine? When do you think you're going to next see a copy of Time magazine? I think the answer is likely never. But he gave an interview to Time magazine today, and he said, we still don't have it. We need much more testing capacity. In other words, he's just dumping on the president. He, again, he's a chameleon. He, Time Magazine, you know, it's just virtue signaling. It's not a real publication. It's not even a real website. It's just there for social justice warriors to have some place to file their dreck. And so he gives him an interview and says, we don't have enough testing capacity. And that sets up some 29-year-old reporter who's never covered a fire to ask the president a question. And he just, you know, again, answers it for the millionth time. And he said the same, he gave the same answer he gave last night, which is, or a variation of it. He said, if we gave tests to every person in America, say there are 350 million Americans, not quite that many, obviously, he said the media would say, why don't you give them two tests? Yesterday, he said that if we gave 10 tests to 350 million Americans, the media would say, why don't you give them an 11th test? It's the same. It's the same thing. It's all BS. 844-500-4242. We'll take more questions if you we'll take more calls, I should say. What am I, the president? We'll take more calls if you want to get on board. 844-500-4242. I'm just looking at another story about this mayor of Newark and his virtual town hall today. If you're not essential, if you're not a cop, a fireman, or working in a hospital, we want you to stay home. So how about farmers? Are they essential? How about people who take oil out of the ground and turn it into gasoline or produce natural gas to heat your home? Are they essential? This guy, he's out of his mind. Essential. Who is essential and who's not essential? And So then they have of all the coronavirus deaths in New Jersey, 64% were white, including 17% Latino. Okay, so Hispanics have become white again. Or are these just white Hispanics, like Aaron Hernandez or Zimmerman? You know, when you get in trouble, you become a white Hispanic, according to the New York Times. So the city, in addition to Be Still Monday, the city had already initiated a day of virtual prayer and fasting every Tuesday. So Monday is Be Still. Tuesday is fasting. What is when? How about, can we have a work Wednesday? Would that be violating the social distancing policies of the People's Republic of Newark? Work Wednesday. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Here's why I called. Two things. I would love to hire Bill Belichick to answer questions for the president. Wouldn't that work? But that's not really why I called. Recently, with that movie Bombshell, you know how they exposed Fox News and such, there was a couple of producers there. My question is, and I actually know the answer, but if a producer from Hollywood made a movie about Harvey Weinstein or Jeffrey Epstein, how many more movies do you think they would make?
Yeah. Well, you know, how long did it take to make a movie about Chappaquiddick, John? It took 50 years. 50 years. And the guy who finally made it, Byron Allen, he's a black guy. And they tried to shut him up. They tried to shut it down. And it was Chris Dodd, his drinking buddy from the state of Connecticut, who was the head of the Motion Picture Producers Association, the MPPA. Yeah, they you're right. There would never be another movie made by anybody. I read those gossip columns like everybody else does about Hollywood. I haven't been reading it lately because there's nothing going on in Hollywood. But they always talk about, you know, so and so is raising money, or they're trying to seek investors and actors to be in a movie about this or that historical event. You know, they make movies about everything. But they're never going to make a movie about Epstein or Weinstein. You're right, because they were Democrats. And Epstein flew around. What are you going to do? Have a scene with Bill Clinton getting on the Lolita Express? Thanks for the call, John. Let's go back to the press conference.
I know you well. I know you well because I know the guy. I see what he writes. He's a total faker. So are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's just a suggestion from a brilliant lab by a very, very smart, perhaps brilliant man. He's talking about sun. He's talking about heat. And you see the numbers. So that's it. That's all I have. I'm just here to present talent. I'm here to present ideas because we want ideas to get rid of this thing. And if heat is good and if sunlight is good, that's a great thing as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead.
Mr. President, you talked a moment ago about vaccines and that we're close. How close do you think? The Oxford University study says they could have one by September. Do you think the pharmaceutical companies in the US around...
They could have one of what?
They have a vaccine ready. Yeah. Yeah.
Oxford's one. Johnson & Johnson is working. They're also working together. You have many companies working together on a vaccine.
But then do you think they're scaled? They can scale up production and the pharmaceutical companies will be able to do that quickly?
If we had a vaccine, it'll be scaled up very quickly. In fact, some of the companies, Johnson & Johnson is one, is scaling up already before they have the final answer. A number of companies are doing that. You'll save a lot of time. The normal is you scale up after. I have to say the FDA has been fantastic. Stephen Hahn, Dr. Hahn, has been fantastic. They're moving along rapidly, rapidly.
Would you say, would it put a time scale on when you...
No, I don't want to put a time scale because then the media, the so-called media, lamestream media, will say, he said a time. I don't want to say times because every time I say a time, if you don't hit it,
no hypotheticals,
they'll say. So
Mr.
I don't want to talk about time. But I will say that there's been tremendous progress made over the last month.
And can I just ask a very quick question? You spoke to Boris Johnson this week. I just wonder how he sounded, how he was.
I did.
When do you think he'll be back at work?
He called me a few days ago. I will tell you, he sounded incredible. I was actually surprised. I thought it'd be like, oh, Donald, how are you? He was ready to go. I'm very surprised to tell you this. It's like the old Boris. Tremendous energy, tremendous drive. I was very surprised because he called me almost, you know, pretty close to when he got out of the hospital. I think he's doing great. He was so sharp and energetic. Pretty incredible. He's an incredible guy. He's a friend of ours and a friend of mine. He loves our country. He loves his country a lot, but he loves our country. He respects our country. And they're lucky to have him over there. Please.
Mr. President, you a couple days ago said that you might reach out to Kim Jong-un directly, but also that you were working to find out if those reports about him being in possible medical trouble were true. I'm wondering if you've either...
I hope he's not in medical trouble.
Well,
I hope he's not.
Have you heard anything from North Korea?
I got along very well with him. Here we are. You would have been in a war with North Korea if I didn't get elected president. Remember, I was going to be the one that took us into war my first day in office, okay? Here we are. Look at what's happened. Withdrawal. We're bringing people home. We're not going to serve as policemen all over the world. I don't want to be policemen all over the world.
But have you been able to learn?
And yet I've rebuilt our military to a level that it's never been built at before. But it's never recognized by the fake news. Go ahead.
Have you been able to use that relationship to get more information about his status?
I think the report was incorrect. Let me just put it that way.
It was
I
from
think
CNN.
The report was done by a network that was incorrect. I'm hearing they used old documents, but that's what I hear. I hear the report was an incorrect report. I hope it was an incorrect report.
When was the last time you heard from him?
I don't want to say.
Since you pointed to me, just a quick question about that. So you haven't made any contact, though, just to make sure.
With who?
The North Koreans.
I don't want to say. I won't say that.
Okay.
We have a good relationship with North Korea. As good as you can have. I mean, we have a good relationship with North Korea. I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un, and I hope he's okay. And somebody would say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. I hope he's okay.
and I think it was a fake report done by CNN.
So can I ask you a question?
What do you have? Go ahead.
No, that's enough.
Go ahead.
Can I ask? But that wasn't my question.
The problem is you don't write the truth. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I want to go to the next
one. Can I ask you a question about Rick?
No, not CNN, please. Go ahead.
The White House has not responded to the allegations.
I told you. CNN is fake news. Don't talk to me. Go ahead, please.
But he says he was retaliated against, and that's why he was removed from his job. Do you have a response to that?
Okay, next question.
Mr. President, I have two questions, one on behalf of a colleague who's not here because of social distancing.
Just ask one, please.
First one, could you talk about your decision-making process on with the governor of Georgia? You yesterday
the controversy?
Said, well, you know, you said yesterday that you told the governor of Georgia you were concerned.
I had a good talk with the governor of Georgia.
Earlier in the week, you spoke and you did not convey this kind of message. Was there a change in your thinking?
I did convey the message. I didn't like the fact that he's leaving certain things. I want the states to open. More than he does, much more than he does. But I didn't like to see spas at this early stage, nor did the doctors. Is that a correct statement, Deborah? I didn't like to see spas opening, frankly. I didn't like to see a lot of things happening, and I wasn't happy with it. And I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I wasn't at all happy because, and I could have done something about it if I wanted to, but I'm saying let the governors do it. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. Spas, beauty parlors, tattoo parlors. And by the way, I want them to open.
Kemp is a better friend of the president than Gavin
Newsom. I want
them
to open, and I want them to open as soon as possible. And I want the state to open. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I will tell you that right now. Yeah, go ahead.
So are you surprised he defied you on that?
No,
you
he didn't. No, he didn't defy me at all. That's your language.
Defied?
He didn't defy me. You know what happened? I said, you make your own decision. I told him that. I said, you're not in the guidelines, but I'm letting you make your own decision. But I want people to be safe, and I want the people in Georgia to be safe. And I don't want this thing to flare up because you're deciding to do something that is not in the guidelines. And I went to Deborah and Dr. Fauci and other people, and they weren't thrilled about it. And I could have stopped them, but I decided, and we all agreed, they got to watch it closely. So we'll see what happens. I told him very distinctly, I said, Mike was there, I said, you do what you think is best. But if you ask me, am I happy about it? I'm not happy about it, and I'm not happy about Brian Kemp.
Have you ever heard of a president this honest? Never. You never will again, either. We're going to have to take a break, but we'll be right back with this and take more of your calls. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. President Trump just spoke about Joe Biden. He said, I don't know if we've got the cut or we're trying. We'll have it in a second. Incidentally, you know, we've interviewed a couple of Democrats who've endorsed the president or spoken highly of him. Vernon Jones, a black Democrat from suburban Atlanta. We have his cut. He resigned from the legislature the other day. Here's his cut.
Hello, America. I'm Representative Vernon Jones, a proud member of the Georgia House of Representatives. And you know, recently I endorsed Donald J. Trump for his campaign reelection. And I hope you join me in those efforts. But little did I know that I would receive such barrage of attacks and name calling by the far left in the Democratic Party. You know, on yesterday I had announced that I would not be completing my term. But then when I started receiving the overwhelming amount of support and outcry from the people that I represent in House District 91 in DeKalb and Rockdale counties, my fellow Georgians, and fellow Americans from across this country in every walk of life, every age, every color, every party. That was emotional. And that was motivational. And you know what, America? I thought about it. And I talked to my family. And I talked to my supporters. Because what you did for me, I'm going to remain on the battlefield. I'm going to complete my term. I'm going to continue to put my country before my party.
So he's changed his mind. He's not going to resign. He said he was leaving the plantation, but he's not going to. And one last thing, Karen Whitsitt, we had her on too. She's the Democratic state rep from Detroit, who credited Donald Trump and for recommending or saying maybe she should try hydroxychloroquine, and she said it saved her life. Well, now the Detroit newspaper is saying that the Detroit Democrats plan to vote this weekend to censure and bar any future endorsements of Representative Whitsitt for saying nice things about President Trump. There you go. This is what happens to black Democrats who stray from the plantation, as Representative Jones called it. Okay, here's the cut about Biden.
I can't tell you what's going to happen. We have a sleepy guy in a basement of a house that the press is giving a free pass to, who doesn't want to do debates because of COVID. And lots of things are happening, right? And I watched a couple of interviews, and I say, oh, I look forward to this. But they're keeping him sheltered because of the coronavirus. And he's not moving around. He's not moving too much. And then I watch what the press does to the Republican Party, and to me in particular. We had the greatest economy ever put together. We were doing, this is a month and a half ago, we were doing numbers likes of which we've never done. African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, best employment numbers ever in the history of our country. Our employment numbers, the best in the history of our country, almost 160 million people. The stock market, record numbers, many, many times during my tenure, many, many times. But now we have a country that we had to close because of this. And frankly, if we didn't close it, we would have lost millions of people possibly, but certainly we would have lost a million people. You take the high number and cut it in half again. But whether it would have been 600, 700, 800, you take a look at the travesty that there is. You take a look at this horrible, horrible scene of hospitals with bodies and black body bags, right? Multiply that times 10, 15, or even 20, because that would have happened. So we did the right thing. So far, we did the right thing. So far, we've called it right. We've mobilized like it was a military operation, and it was largely a military operation between ventilators and testing and so many other things. And we've had a lot of good partners, not all good partners, but we had a lot of good partners. Gavin Newsom today thanked us very
much.
Enough
with Gavin Newsom, please.
California thanked us so much for getting him all the things that he needed. So,
all right. That's it. Uber Jason said there's a drone flying the length of Com Ave with a blatant camera attached to it. I keep driving up and down Com Ave looking for operators, but I can't find any. I wonder if it's BU or BPD or MBTA. Kind of scary just going up and down Com Ave. Welcome to the new America, Uber Jason. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.